Hi, I'm Brian Sullivan. I'm Security Program Manager with Microsoft. And here with me today is Matt Miller, Software Security Engineer with the Microsoft Security Sciences team. So welcome, Matt.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So tell us a little bit about what you're going to talk about at Blue Hat this week.
All right, so I'm going to be talking about mitigations, countermeasures to exploitation, sort of talking about what they are, what problem they're solving, how they've evolved, and a glimpse into what we might expect to see in the future.
Awesome. So, like, mitigations and exploits is like, pretty broad topic. Is, like,
right.
Something specific within that?
So, I'm basically going to be covering the evolution of Microsoft's mitigations. So, I'm going to start with GS and talk about things like DEP, ASLR, a couple of the other types of mitigations out there in terms of, you know, here's the way that people exploit vulnerabilities, and here's how each of these mitigations actually work, how they act as countermeasures.
Well, for people who might not know, just give us like a little bit of background on GS and DEP and ASLR.
Sure. So GS, DEP, ASLR, these are all different technologies that are designed to counter techniques that people use to exploit software vulnerabilities. So GS, or GuardStack, is basically a compiler technology that tries to prevent people from being able to do traditional exploitation techniques like return address overwrite, a couple other things like that. DEP is sort of analogous with hardware enforced on executable pages in its most advanced mode. So that tries to prevent attackers from being able to execute code if they inject it into the process.
Okay.
And ASLR, it's easiest to think about that as sort of shifting things around in memory so that even if an attacker is able to exploit a vulnerability, they can't make assumptions about where things are located in the address space.
Okay, so it makes it much more difficult for them to...
Right, exactly. I mean, probably the best way to think about mitigations is they're trying to reduce the probability of a successful exploitation attempt to as close to zero as possible. So they can do that by either preventing an exploitation technique or just reducing the reliability of it altogether. So that's sort of what all these different mitigation techniques try to do.
Excellent. So... If I'm a developer like watching this, what can I do to like to use GS? What can I use ASLR?
Right. So there are various flags that have been introduced into the compiler and the linker to sort of indicate that the executable is opted in to support these features. So for GS, there's the slash GS switch that you pass to the compiler, and on the linker side, there's slash safeseh, slash dynamic base, slash nxcompat. All these are different flags that basically tell the operating system that, hey, I'm compatible with these features. Please turn them on for me so that I can take advantage of them.
Okay. And is that in Visual Studio 2008?
Yeah, I mean, the Visual Studio 2008 and you know, older versions also have some of these features. Some of them have been integrated over time.
Okay.
But yeah, the latest compiler suite does have, you know, all these flags supported.
Great. And then, so which operating system supported too?
So in terms of operating system support, Vista was the first operating system to introduce support for ASLR. XPSP2 and above have support for DEP and some, like for instance, the operating systems compiled with GS and all of those enhancements. And yeah, I mean, all the latest bits of Windows are basically, to the extent possible, you know, ASLR is on by default, you know, DEP is on by default. So the key is that Microsoft's moving in a direction where, to the extent that we can't put all these mitigations on by default, and that way we have better coverage to actually prevent exploitation for vulnerabilities that we may not even be aware of.
Excellent. So are there really any downsides to doing this, or any times when you can't or shouldn't do it?
So there are potential compatibility issues with some of these things, and that's why a lot of these features have been made opt-in features, because...
Okay.
Developers in the past have made assumptions about being able to execute code, dynamic code from memory that they wouldn't normally be able to execute from now that DEP exists. So in the past, some of these features have been made such that you have to explicitly opt in to be able to make use of them. So compatibility is one concern. Another one is performance that you hear a lot. So some of these features do have, you know, a marginal performance overhead.
Like how much we're talking about?
I mean, it's, you know, it's very minimal in most cases. It just depends, like, for instance, GS. So GS inserts code into a function that does some checks to make sure that a cookie is sane. Mm-hmm. And adding those checks to the function can add some performance overhead during the time that it executes. So if a function's called many, many, many times, then that can have...
You're checking it many times.
Right, exactly. So that's one place where you could see a performance hit. But overall, performance hit tends to be very marginal. And you know, I would encourage developers to don't assume that there will be a performance hit. Go and collect the data. If there is one, then evaluate how you can work around it. But I would encourage developers to, you know, turn these mitigations on by default and then go back if you're running into performance issues and try to figure out, oh, well, maybe we need to turn this off or whatnot. That way, you have the best security coverage possible, and you're not making assumptions about performance or app compat and so on.
Excellent. So if you're worried about dev, like, give it a try.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be the best way to go.
Excellent. Cool. I mean, essentially, what I like about this personally is that you're getting this stuff for free.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's helping protect you. I mean, maybe you don't know what vulnerabilities exist in your code, but these mitigations help protect you from somebody being able to exploit those vulnerabilities. So, you know, try to decrease the risk of somebody being able to compromise you, your customers, or anything of that case in a broad fashion.
I mean, even like future O-days.
Exactly. So that's exactly what these mitigations are designed to help protect against is, you know, the vulnerabilities that we don't know about. You know, we can't do anything about them until we find out about them. But these mitigations actually provide protection to prevent, you know, people from having sort of, you know, wormable exploits out there that can just infect everybody. By having these mitigations, we can either prevent them altogether or we can at least reduce their reliability so that, you know, only 1 in 256 people are infected instead of all of those people, for example.
Well, that's a good start.
Yeah.
And again, anything you get for free is fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. So, like, what's the call to action for our audience? Just enable these flags?
Yeah, I mean, the call to action is turn on the mitigations. If you do run into performance issues or compat issues, evaluate them at that point, collect the data, you know, and determine, oh, yes, this is because of this mitigation. Here's the workaround that we need to do to get past that. But don't make assumptions that, oh, well, this could have an app compat or performance hit. You know, go and actually do the testing because the value that these mitigations add is so great that, you know, you should just enable them.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.